Well, it looks a little grayish, but it's going to be okay. We're going to have a great holiday week and weekend in remembering our Independence Day and celebrating it. And, yep, I'm going to get out on the grill, too. In fact, I got to go see Emmett and Gino and the whole Barada family over there at Fairway Packing. They call it the steak shop, but they've got the best steaks and the best hamburgers and hot dogs and all kinds of good stuff. And I just checked, they're open until 7 tonight. There at Fairway on Mac. Fresh Farms, I know, will be open. That's another great little store that's close by. So you want to get out there, if you can, today and get everything you need for the weekend. That's my suggestion. And it is National Beef Month, and National Hamburger Day has come and gone. We mentioned it back in May. But we have an expert who I did not know existed. And the guys have found what is, in all intents and purposes, an Ivy League hamburger historian. Yale graduate and author of Hamburger Dreams, America's Love Affair with Grilling, and Why We Cook Out to Celebrate Our Summer Holidays, Chris Carosa. Hi, Chris. I'm Paul.
Hey, thanks for that introduction. I never heard that before.
Well, listen, I love grilling. I'm not very good in the kitchen, but I'm great in the backyard with a grill. I'm proud of my ability. It's not much, but I'm proud of my grilling ability, and I can't wait to talk to you as a grilling expert and a hamburger historian. Let's talk about the history. How did we get such a love affair with grilling, and for that matter, specifically grilling hamburgers at a time like this?
Well, I think if you really want to talk about outdoor cookouts, you have to go about 100 years BH. That's before the hamburger. It's right after the end of the Revolutionary War, and they start celebrating something called July 4th. So a couple of years after the end of the Revolutionary War, they have these big celebrations with cannons and fireworks, and of course you have to have a meal. And it's in the middle of summer, so you're going to cook outside, and you're going to have this thing called a barbecue. And the interesting thing about the barbecue is that it was the perfect type of event to have that really kind of dug into the British, because earlier in the 1700s, there was a book out from Britain that made fun of America's, the new countries, whatever, because of this thing called a barbecue. They had these considered a very low-class sort of thing. So naturally, when America became its own country, the barbecue was saying, take that, Britain. We're going to cook the way we want to cook. So that became very popular. And in fact, by the time, Washington was president, when he referred to barbecue, he wasn't just talking about a way of cooking. He was actually talking about the event. And this became very traditional, very popular, really in the early 1800s. But what does it involve? It involves cooking a very large piece of meat, like a side of beef or something like that, that it's really tough to do if you're just having family over. So you need something that was smaller. And I think that when I'm skipping now ahead in the history of story, but when you think about families doing this in the 20th century, in the 1900s, they're not cooking sides of beef. They're also not barbecuing, by the way. They're grilling now, cooking over an open flame. And it's a lot easier if you have these things like hamburgers and hot dogs to do that. So how's that for a little bit of history?
Mike, it's way more than I ever would have guessed, and I've never thought of 100 years BH. Before the hamburger. So in the beginning, were hamburgers always on buns?
No. Interestingly enough, and we know this because there's actually newspaper stories that describe street vendors selling hamburgers and how they sold them. And what they did is they took loaves of bread and they cut it sort of like in a V-shaped thing, not in individual slices, but more like a pita. So it's one connected piece of bread, and they put the hamburger in the middle of that V-shaped piece of bread. And that's how they served it. So, and you'd see, they actually have illustrations of this from, I think, 1895, where a man is walking away from the food truck carrying this hamburger with his hand underneath the V part of it. Think of it, just like I said, eating a pita or something like that.
Yeah, that's wild. Well, I'm going to ask you this. I'm of the school that for a hamburger or a steak, You don't keep flipping them back and forth and back and forth. When I see people do that, in my mind, I think they're getting rid of all the beautiful juices that you want to stay in the hamburger or in the steak. So do you flip them several times or just once?
I flip them a couple of times. Yes, I do. But I also try to keep the juice in there. There's different ways of doing that, by maybe charring them first on top so it looks almost like they're burned, but they're not.
Right.
You know, you could put some sort of water or something on it. My son has actually perfected steak where he cooks it by putting it in butter, and the butter, it's not just butter, it's some sort of thing, crust that puts it on top of the steak so that all the juices stay in. Mm. And he also doesn't flip it over that often either.
Well,
so everybody has their
same,
like, their different way of doing it. I'll tell you, when they made the first hamburger, they actually didn't know how to make it because they were used to making pork sausage sandwiches, and it cooks a little bit differently. With the first hamburger, they cooked it, and it looked like it was done, but when they opened it up on the inside, it was still raw. So in order to make it cook on the inside, they cooked it for longer, and they ended up discovering they didn't make the first hamburger. They made the first hockey puck. That's how bad it was. So they added coffee and some, you know, in it to steam the inside. So that worked, but it tasted yucky. So on top of the coffee, they put brown sugar and a bunch of other stuff. And it was really a mixed concoction of things that ended up tasting pretty good. And believe it or not, the original family still has that recipe.
Wow.
And they use it in their restaurant. So you can actually taste the original hamburger if you want to.
You could try the original hamburger and figure it out. But I'm with your son. I don't flip it too much. I do char it a little bit, so I guess that counts as a flip. And butter. I mean, what doesn't taste better with butter on it? Meanwhile, I love the idea of the book. When you went to Yale, you certainly weren't aiming to become the world's foremost hamburger historian and backyard grill master, I wouldn't think.
No, I actually majored in physics and astronomy. But I took this class as a, you know, as a, just a kind of a joke, not really a joke. I was sort of interested in it, called The Study of the City. And in the process of that, you didn't have a final test. You had to write a paper on the biography of the city you were born in. And I was born in Buffalo, New York. And as I was doing my research, that's where I found out the first time that the hamburger was invented right outside of Buffalo. And I was so excited, I ran down and talked to one of my classmates. Hey, guess what? The hamburger was invented in Buffalo. And he said, no, it wasn't. It was invented right here in New Haven. And then he promptly took me to Louie's Lunch, which still exists, and I had their hamburger, which is one of the origin stories. And that was my first taste, no pun intended, of this controversy of where the hamburger was first born. And I just decided, you know, hey, let's actually look into this, do the research, and see what I could find out. And I treated it almost like a criminal cold case, trying to find all the evidence that I could find of these various stories. And I think that I came up with the answer.
I think you came up with a good one. Chris Carosa, MBA, Yale graduate, award-winning writer, and author of Hamburger Dreams, America's Love Affair with Grilling, and Why We Cook Out to Celebrate Our Summer Holidays. Thanks for this. We're going to look for that book, and we're going to have a great week, and I hope you will, too, for this holiday weekend. We appreciate it. We're out of time. We got to go. I wanted to say hi to Marie. She's coming up next. The whole team, Brian Morton, Danielle Mason, Rich Luzinski, have a great 4th of July. Regards, Paul W. Smith.